Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Feast of Palm Sunday, we begin Holy Week with a very festive tone. But as the week progresses, the mood changes rather dramatically. And on Holy Thursday, that's where we really see the shift. We have the institution of the Eucharist, but then we have Christ in the garden with his disciples. In the Gospels it says, then Jesus came with them in a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. In the Gospel of Luke, it says that Christ went a stone's throw away from the apostles, or the three disciples that were closest to him, so not very far away. And he separated even further away from the other disciples, but kept these three close to him. And the Father says, because these three saw him glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration, Mount Tabor, and so these disciples would be the least likely to be troubled by seeing him in this state of distress. And when we read these words, we're often bothered by them because we know that Christ is God of the flesh. And so the fact that we would see Christ sorrowful, troubled, distressed is something that we have a hard time understanding. But what the Fathers explain and what the Church teaches is that Christ was not just God who appeared to be a man, but Christ was God in the flesh. He was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. And the Fathers teach that having two natures, a divine nature and a human nature, Christ also had two wills, because it's natural to a nature to have a will. And the human will is expressed by Christ when he says, if it's possible for this cup to pass from me, let it pass. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. By that, he subordinates his human will to the will of the divine nature. Christ was truly a man, and as a man, one of the things that God gives each and every one of us is a desire to survive, a survival instinct. And so when we're threatened with imminent destruction, we have a fear that's natural. And it's a famous saying that says that courage is not the absence of fear, but courage is when you do the right thing despite the fear. The fear is not shameful. The fear is natural because it's a natural thing that God placed in each and every one of us to wake us up when we're facing imminent destruction. But Christ had something even worse than the prospect of his own crucifixion physically, and that's the weight that he would be carrying. Because the cup that's talked about here is the cup of sufferings that are the result of all of our sins. Christ took on the weight of the world, the weight of all of our sins, when he agreed to drink that cup for us. And he asked his three closest disciples to pray with him, and he came back and he found that they were asleep. And only just maybe an hour or so ago, Peter had assured him that he was prepared to die with him, and here Christ was in his hour of need, and he was asleep. And so Christ rebukes him, but then he also gives him words of forgiveness, because he says the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He's acknowledging that as a man, Peter and the other two disciples have a physical weakness, a desire for sleep. And it's a struggle that we all have to overcome when we're faced with these kinds of situations. He says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Not that it's possible for us to avoid being tempted, but by entering into temptation, when we enter into temptation, we're giving in to the temptation. So we're to watch and to pray so that we are able to triumph over the temptation, not to avoid the occasion entirely. Again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. And then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." The second time Christ came back and saw the disciples asleep again, he didn't even bother to wake them up. He recognized that they were weak, and he let them continue to sleep. But again, when he came back the third time, there is a rebuke in his words. You know, "What are you still sleeping and resting? Now, you know, it's on now. The betrayer is right here." In the Gospel of Luke, we're told that as Christ was praying, there was an angel that appeared to him and strengthened him, and also that he sweat drops of blood. Some people over the years have questioned the accuracy of this scene, the idea that Christ would sweat drops of blood, but scientists who have studied this have documented that there are occasions when someone's under very extreme stress that they will sweat blood. And that's what Christ was going through right here. So this shows the gravity of the situation. Christ took the cup of our sufferings. He took the cup of all the punishment for all of our sins so that we could drink the cup of salvation. The Father said that by drinking that cup, he canceled the debt of our sins. The Spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. But our weakness, the weakness of our flesh, can be made strong. The same Apostle Peter, who showed such weakness in this moment and then denied Christ three times out of fear of his own life, just 50 days after this, being strengthened by the filling of the Holy Spirit, was courageous enough to stand before the people of Jerusalem and to preach a sermon in which he announced the truth of the resurrection of Christ and accused the people of Israel, saying, "Therefore, let the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Our weakness can be made strong if we'll simply allow the Holy Spirit to do in us what he did in the lives of the apostles. This week, especially, is a time for us to watch and to pray. We're celebrating, we're commemorating this struggle that Christ endured for us, his passion in the garden, his crucifixion, his death, his burial, and also his resurrection. Now is the time for us to watch and to pray. Some people might ask, "Well, what's the point of wasting all this time in the services of the church? Couldn't better things be done? Couldn't we put our time to better use? Couldn't we be out there feeding the poor and clothing the naked?" But when you hear people talk like that, what do they do with the time that they save by not going to the services? You don't see them doing any of those things. It's just an excuse. It's very much like what you hear in the gospel that we read this morning, where we have Christ anointed with costly spikenard. And what does Judas say? He says, what was the purpose of this waste? Couldn't this have been put to better use? Couldn't we have sold it and given it to the poor?" And the Apostle John tells us he didn't say this because he was concerned with the poor, but because he was a thief and he was taking money out of the treasurer of the apostles, and he was pilfering money. What is the purpose of this waste? Well, the waste of this time, quote unquote, is that we're showing our love and our worship for Christ by attending these services. These services are edifying to us when we understand them, when we enter them into the right spirit, but these services are really not for us. These services are a service that we offer to God. We show our love for what Christ did for us, and we honor and we worship him for what he did for us by spending this time. And so I ask each and every one of you, to the extent that it's possible for you to be here for these services, it's crucial that you do so, that you enter into the Spirit this week, and that you watch and you pray. Because if you want to drink the joy, the cup of the joy of salvation on Pascha, you have to go through this week and be here and watch and pray. Amen.